This scripture that we are exploring big time happened on the day of Pentecost. So I'll just give you a bit of background. It was the day of Pentecost. The power of the Holy Spirit filled the believers as they were waiting on God, because Jesus told them to wait, to be endowed, to be endued with power when the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And what happened is they began to speak in other tongues. In that time in Jerusalem, the place was filled with other nations speaking in their native language. I counted, there were 16 recorded nationalities or nations in that space. And the apostles came running out and speaking in their language. But it was supernatural because they were Galileans. They only knew one language. And I don't know if it's happened to you, but it's happened to me when I was singing in Africa and I was leading worship with the African Swahili team. So I would sing in English and they would sing in Swahili. And then I started to sing in tongues. And afterwards the people said, "You were singing in Swahili." I'm like, "What? We could understand you. You were glorifying God." And that's what these guys were doing. In the native language, they were speaking the wonders of God. And they were bursting out with the wonders of God to the point they were so over exuberant, so filled with the Spirit, that they thought that they were drunk with alcohol, with spirits, the other spirit. Not that it's wrong, but you know, whatever, in moderation. Okay, so Peter spoke then his first sermon. Remember Peter, if you know the story, he denied Jesus at the cross. He's like, "I don't know him," three times. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he became another man. When the Holy Spirit comes, and he has come upon us, we don't have to tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. He has come. And he has poured out upon us. So we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power to love people, even the hardest people to love. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. And he explained from the scripture, we're not drunk, as you suppose, but let's look at the scripture in Acts 2:17-21. It says, "And it shall come to pass." He's saying this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. It was prophesied that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and on my men servants and maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God has poured out his spirit. His spirit has come. The Holy Spirit is here. He lives in us when we receive Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. The God of heaven and earth comes to live on the inside of us when we give our life to Jesus. "I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, there before the coming and the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Put your hand up if you've called upon the name of Jesus Christ. Look at this space. Filled with power. We've called upon the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit has come to live in us. Then what does he want to do with our lives? He wants us to be... That was not tongues. Swahili. Yeah, anybody speaks Swahili? Okay. So then Peter explained further. He went to the Psalms and he talked about what David had prophesied. Then the listeners, the people who were there, asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What must we do?" I believe there'll be people, and there are people in your life that know you're a Christian, Know who you stand for. You're standing out as being different. You're not falling for the traps of the world. You're living different. You're speaking different. They're going, what can I do to get what you've got? What are you doing? And so we have the answer. He said in Acts 2, 38, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. They burst out with the message of Jesus Christ. Where are you bursting out with the message of Jesus Christ? You know, I'm a chaplain in a high school, and I burst. And at my first 6 months, I was very timid in terms of, I felt the pushback. Felt like I was going into a foreign country. But as the Lord just helped me and he helps me, I just see students being added to, I'm allowed to have a Bible study in my state college. I'm allowed to pray in my state college. And there are kids, students being added to the believers because mostly because I'm devoted to hospitality. I do 180 toasties on a Tuesday. And the church across the road, Little Mountain Church of Christ, supply some of the toasties. My girlfriend, Joanne Ford, supplies some of the other toasties. I make more toasties, and they just go flying out my window. And the teachers say, but the kids have got lunch, like in their bag. Initially, I started it with, if you don't have lunch, come and get a toastie. Oh, you're right. As if I'm going to check their backpacks. They're like, miss, we don't have lunch. I'm like, yeah, sure. But they're like, why are you doing it? I said, because I just want to show you God's love. Because God loves food. Do you know there's a wedding banquet in heaven? When we get to heaven, there's a day. Can you imagine his banqueting table? Whoa. God's going to have a wedding feast when we're all together and celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb. Today, we celebrated the supper of Jesus' death and resurrection through communion, and we will do that until we go to heaven. But there will be a time where, oh my gosh, what a spread it will be. So, repent, every one of you. So, repentance. Repentance is number one for coming into the kingdom of God. And it can sound like an ugly word, but it's not. The Hebrew meaning means returning to the original plan of God, to live with Him. See, the original plan for you and I was in the Garden of Eden when we know that Adam and Eve sinned against God and disobeyed Him. The original plan was that Adam and Eve walk with God and talk with God forever, that sin would not enter into the world, but it has. So to repent means I'm going to choose God and I'm going to fellowship with Him and I'm going to obey Him. It means, you know, it is. I remember when I repented of my sin, the regret, the sorrow, the godly sorrow was so deep. God, I've offended you. God, I've lived without you. I've shunned you. I've walked away. You've been calling me and I've been reluctant. So there was a grieving there. But it's more than that. It's not just a regret of our sin. It's showing showing remorse. But it's committing to a new path, to a new way to live. People say to me, do I have to come to church to be saved? No, you don't. But when you're saved, you want to be with other believers. Do I have to stop smoking or vaping or... No, you come to God. This is what I say to the students. You come as you are, But I'm telling you, you won't want to do that anymore. Because when the Holy Spirit comes within you, the power of God in you is always more powerful than the nature of sin. Because sin wants to pull you away from the things of God. So because you're returning to the path and to truth, it's recognizing our own wrongdoings and humbly denying ourselves to turn around, to face the one we have wronged. I know it's not a sexy message, but it's truth. We have all offended God. We have all fallen short of His glory and goodness. We all deserve punishment for what we've done wrong. That's what the cross, that's what we just shared. It's the greatest message that could ever be told. And out of that comes a devotion to His teaching, the teaching of His word, digging into the truth of His word for ourselves, coming to church and receiving messages of life, and then going living that life. Because Jesus in me, I become, and we become more like Him. You know, when I was preparing this message, I'm like, Lord, I have actually fallen short of my commitment to have people in my home over these few months. And I'm like, God, I'm sorry that I said I'd do this, but stuff's got in the way. Not bad stuff, but I'm like, I'm ready to come again. And tonight I really feel that there are people here. Oh, you're so beautiful. Ministry of tissues. She took one for herself. Please share the box. Coming back to God in honesty. Yeah, and I really feel tonight, I'm going to open the altar later, for people that are really struggling with this message, that there are other reasons why people don't or cannot or have not done the hospitality thing. And it can be sickness and oppression and depression. I've been there, and for a whole year I couldn't do anything. But people came to me with meals. People looked after me from this church. There are reasons why we can't always open up our homes, but there will be, because God will heal us. I was brought up in a family that was so stingy. Like, my mum and dad are now in heaven, but my family home, did you ever watch The Addams Family? Yeah, well, that was kind of like my house. I was embarrassed to have people in my home, and my dad never ate with us. He ate in the lounge room, and the kids and mum, we ate at another table. So that was never a happy place for me. The table was not a happy place. Whenever my dad joined the table, it was stressful and tearful and painful. So when I started to date Brendan, he was brought up in a house of hospitality. And you just walk into, you know, hey, and open the fridge. So he did that at my house once. My parents were like, what's the pig want? I know. They got to love Brendan. But that was my family of origin. So it's not a natural thing for me to be hospitable. It's a God thing. He's changed me. And He changes us from glory to glory. And He takes us from strength to strength. So we can reset and go, God, give me the passion and the power. So when we came to the Lord, back to the Lord in 1992, we had a ministry to the children of the inner city of Melbourne. And we took kids in. And we had many kids come. And we had one girl whose mum was a heroin addict. And one day in church, the mother said, "We're going to be evicted tomorrow." And she had two children and she was heroin trying to get off it. And I looked at Brendan and he went, "Okay." So the next day he went and picked them up and I got all the beds ready upstairs and they came and they moved in with us. And I remember that first night when they sat around the table and we played Pictionary and it was hilarious. And little Candace at the time said, "I've never heard my mum laugh." And mum was hysterical. She was not on drugs then. She was on the methadone program. She was coming off the heroin. And she was laughing. And they were crying with laughter because, you know, if you've ever played Pictionary and it just doesn't look like anything. The joy that filled our home and our hearts. And we've had 22 people since move into our home to share in our hospitality and our table. And it was because Jesus changed me and us. And how could we resist people's needs? After the scripture, that is our key scripture. I'll skip there. Says in verse 40, I think it's 40, a deep sense of awe came over them all. This is the same scene. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs and wonders. You see, it's a community, a holy community. This is a holy community of living. Living in the fear of the Lord and ministering in the power of the Spirit to each and every one. There are tables in your workplace. There are tables like my Toasties that I believe the power of the Spirit is moving in some of those students. At your workplace, at your school, at your university, when you sit with somebody and you engage in a conversation, it's powerful. Verse 44, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. This is a high call. I'm challenged. They shared everything they had. We are so blessed with what we have. We had two cars at one stage, two Datsun 120Ys. Not the best cars to sow into someone's life. But God said to give our car to the mother of Candace. And so we gave her the Datsun 120Y and she was excited. She put it in the driveway and her daughter and her friend, her cousin, used to play in it and pretend it was, you know, their car. Well, apparently they put water in the petrol tank because they were just playing and they were pretending to fill it up. And poof, the engine blew and all of that stuff. But we gave it. People have given us two cars recently and that's been a blessing. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Our call as a Christian is a sacrificial call. We were traveling the world for a year, ministering in different countries, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Do you miss your stuff?" We had it all in storage. I'm like, this is a set up question. Do I miss my stuff? No, Lord, I don't miss my stuff. What's coming? Well, then give it away. So I rang a girlfriend. I said, "Could you give away all of our stuff and find people who need it?" She's like, "That'd be great. I'd love to do that." So I even gave away Brendan's leather jacket that he loved very much. That was not... Anyway. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. It's an open house attitude. Right now, you may be in a season when you can't open your house, but there'll be a time when the Lord will require all of us to be sacrificial in our homes, and what a joy it is. all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship who were being saved. So our open house, open heart, open table will be a witness to those who want to join the party. And that's why this church exists, right? So I've got three key thoughts. Number one, we are feasting at his table in his house right now. Can I have the keyboard? Thank you, Mr. Nick. Who loves Nick? I do. Woo! Feasting at his table right now. This is his church. Spiritually, we are one in him right now. Spiritually, we are worship out and living God right now. We are partaking of the Spirit of life. Spiritually, we are feeding on his word. Number two, he is building his community through his word being preached and taught so we can grow up. Everybody say, grow up. And fulfill his call in our lives. We've got to grow up. This is not a club. This is not a casual community gathering. This is none other than the house of God. And number three, right here tonight is an opportunity to bond together. Please don't run away. Just hang a little bit longer. Get to know us. We won't reject you. We've all got a story. Some of us got really ugly ones. But the redemption power of Jesus cleans us holy and makes us beautiful and new. Even tonight, the young adults have got a gathering at Kim and Richard's place, and David Morris. I've got David Stennett on my heart. Better tell him. He's my son in love. David Morris will let you know. David, where are you? Okay, so he knows the address, he knows the details. So young adults, there is a gathering for you tonight, for you to join and love on one another. There's no need to hide. There's no need to hide your pain. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We've all been there. We're all broken, in need of a savior. We see you. There's no pressure to perform for us. Take your time. You're on a journey to freedom. We need you. You have a special place at the table of God's love here. We will pray for you. We will fight for you. So, before we have a ministry moment, and the ministry that I see is for people that are struggling with actually opening up their home to the hospitality message. I want to pray for you. And there's also people that I want to pray for that are being harassed by the enemy in any area of your life. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The same Spirit of Christ Jesus is in us. We want to set you free tonight. If there's any harassment in your thinking or in your life or opposition that you are sensing, you need to get free tonight. So before we do that, would you just close your eyes?